The Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129 presents Just Love, a conversation on the Church's social mission with Monsignor Kevin Sullivan.
Welcome to Just Love. Just do it. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself. And if we all do that, our world will be more just and more compassionate. This is our weekly conversation about the church in the world, and we talk with those people who in various ways try to make our world more just and more compassionate in so many different ways. The weather has been changing. We're into spring, but if we look at the weather throughout the United States, there's been a lot of yucko weather and a lot of really awful weather in terms of people being damaged. There's even been some deaths and some of the flooding and stuff like that. And so there's a lot going on in the world, even as we kind of change seasons. And, as we change seasons, when we walk around and we see billboards, we see things like that, especially as summer's coming, always you kind of see those ads like, well, you got to get in shape for summer. You got to stay fit. And some of them advertise summer clothes. Actually, Tom, you know what? One of my favorite songs is, and I actually just saw it here in the because there's a Springsteen station here. I think
yes.
Victoria, do you know which channel it is on Sirius?
I have no idea. We have over 150.
I know it's somewhere in the 20s. But you know what I want to play sometime during the during his Girls in Summer Clothes. I want to do that.
Okay, you just have to give me the song of
that's
that
it. That's
Girls
it.
Girls in Summer Clothes?
Yeah, it's Bruce Springsteen.
So just pop it out of nowhere.
Just pop it. Look it up on your thing. You can find all these weird songs. This is not a weird song. I mean, I just found it. But anyway, but because of that, you know, because you get a lot of advertisement about stuff like that, and people pay attention as it gets closer to the summer to bodies, because there are more parts of the bodies that you can see when you're walking down the street. No longer the big coats, the parkas, and stuff like that. And I think they try to guilt you a little bit into making sure that you look in better shape. So I think that's so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about wellness. We're going to talk a little bit about fitness. We have two guests who are going to kind of help us to understand a little bit more about that. And maybe, you know, if somebody wants to pay attention and a little bit of self-help, they can kind of pay attention and maybe learn a little bit about this.
So, excellent.
In a few minutes, we'll go to our first guest, who is Suprina Bereni, who is got lots and lots of talent, fitness, wellness, nutrition, all those good types of things, those things which, like, I, you know, have to confess, my favorite food in the whole world is chocolate chip cookies and pizza. So, I mean, and those are the things that are really good things. Victoria, what's your favoriteest food in the whole world?
That's a good question. I love ice cream and cake.
That's great. What kind of cake?
Any kind of cake. For my birthday, I don't want any gifts. I just request
cake. You just want cake?
From everybody.
When's your birthday again?
9/11.
9/11?
Yes.
Okay, so...
That's right. It's a state of emergency. It's Victoria's birthday.
Well, that's true. So, 9/11. Okay. So just cake. Cake mix or
just,
cake?
Just
or,
cake by itself.
Just cake?
If someone makes me a cake, I'm excited about that, but that's what I prefer for my birthday.
Okay, just cake. Icing?
Icing, of course, yes.
Okay, so we'll get...
So, a full cake, a well-completed cake, yes.
Full cake. You want your name on top of it, too?
No, it doesn't have to be my name on it.
No, you just want to be able to eat it.
Right, yeah.
Okay, that's good. But you have no cake? You know, no favorites? No chocolate? No vanilla? No strawberry? No
nothing
red
in particular. I love different kinds of cakes. My favorite cake is carrot cake.
I love
carrot cake. But I don't have any particular cake that you should give me for my birthday.
Carrot cake, do you want the little stuff in it? Like, you know, they got little nuts in it.
Oh, yeah, I want the whole enchilada.
The whole carrot cake. All right.
I don't want the simple carrot cake, the real deal.
We got to remember that. But you know, my favorite part of the carrot cake is that kind of white cream cheese icing on the top of it. That's the stuff that
my mouth is getting watery.
It really, really good. I think this is a perfect lead-in to our conversation about fitness. And I bet you we're going to talk about Brussels sprouts. And yeah. I bet you we're going to talk about all those things. You know what my definition of healthy food is?
Mm-mm.
It looks icky. That's my definition of it. Now, I know we're offending our guests because she's going to kind of convince us that really this healthy stuff is really the good stuff and it's the most tasteful stuff. So we'll figure that one out as we kind of go through it.
Don't get me wrong. I love my healthy foods too. My senior, you see me coming here with my green smoothie.
Oh, yeah.
But this morning I was such in a rush. I couldn't eat that. And for my snack, I'm eating something bad. I don't want to say it. But usually in the morning.
Fess up. What are you having for
vanilla
your snack?
Vanilla cookies.
Mm. Ah, well, vanilla cookies are good. But you know what I say? They're not worth wasting the calories on that chocolate chip cookies are.
Chocolate chip cookies are more worthwhile.
You know what, Tom? Why don't we go to our first guest who's here in the studios, Sabrina Barrene, who is a nutritionist. She does wellness. She does physical fitness. And also, she kind of does a little stuff of Asian business stuff, and maybe we'll get into that a little bit later on in the world. And I'm happy to call Sabrina a friend, and I'm delighted that she's taking the time to be with us today. Sabrina, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Great. So tell us. Let's just get right into it. Fitness, nutritious. I mean, to me, it seems to me it's become kind of a fad. Nobody talked about this, 30, 40 years ago as much as we do today. It seems to be all, as I say, the rage or a fad.
I don't think that you're wrong. I think that there's a lot of marketing for people who want to try to influence your position on food.
Okay.
Let's go to the basics. Let's go to the Bible's foods, things that are the most elemental. If you like to eat chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, it's not in the Bible.
Wasn't in the Bible. You're right.
But I'll substitute good bread and good wine for chocolate chip cookies.
They just did a study about how a glass of wine each night would help you reduce fat.
Ah, so tell us about that one. I like that one. It doesn't matter what kind of wine?
Well, actually, red wine is the most ideal. There's
okay.
a lot of benefit in breaking down the fats that you eat so that you can use them better. There's nothing that's wrong with eating something that's not perfect food.
Right.
But if you deprive your body of something that is good and elemental that it needs, then your body feels a deficit. And then when it has that deficit, it will hoard bad fats in order to try to compensate. It's like anything. If you, it's raining outside, your body's deprived of sunshine, your body's going to be a little bit more lethargic so that it conserves energy. Now that we are starting to get some sunshine today, your body will feel a little bit more energetic. Same thing happens when you have good foods. Your body will feel the enthusiasm of having quality nutrients to build and thrive.
Well, Sabrina, I hear what you're saying, and I actually, if I want to be serious about this, which I think life's too important to be serious about, is that I think you're 100% right, because I oftentimes say, obviously, people get sick. There are diseases, and I don't know what causes them, but people get really sick and things happen. But I believe, this is my own kind of uneducated opinion, is that, probably half of health you can deal with kind of food and exercise.
I don't disagree with you. You're absolutely right. Exercise enthusiasm is very, very important. I don't think that you have to have a physical structure of exercise that is mandated. Walk the stairs instead of taking the elevator. Make sure you park further away from the entrance that you're going to. Carry your groceries around the car, lap around the car. Try to use a basket in the grocery store and lift the basket several times. The idea is to try to figure out how to integrate solutions of wellness into your lifestyle so that you're enabled.
So, okay, let's do that for our listeners. By the way, we're speaking with Sabrina Barrene, who is a nutritionist. She founded Suprema Gourmet. She's a wellness person and a physical fitness person. So why don't we do this for our listeners? Most people go shopping in a supermarket, okay? And you have a huge variety of choices that are in there. Do you have any kind of quick tips for our listeners as to maybe a couple of things or a few things they could do when they go to the supermarket that could be healthier than what they might naturally do? And Victoria, you pay attention to this, okay? I want you to pay attention.
I am.
I'm going to give you a quiz next week on this, okay?
Oh, you've got to wait till next week.
I want you to remember. So anyway.
I think that is a spectacular question. People go to the supermarket and they don't know what to do because their brain is in a quagmire. The quagmire is a result of a lack of glucose. So the first thing I would say before you go shopping is to eat something. Ideally,
like that.
If you eat
a chocolate chip cookie,
a chocolate chip cookie actually would allow you to have immediate glucose, and that would be a good solution.
Okay.
However, I would rather you had like some hummus or something that is a sustainable carbohydrate.
See, part of my problem is I love the good stuff and I love the bad stuff. I mean, I love hummus.
There's nothing wrong with loving everything and loving everyone and making sure that you allow yourself.
That's kind of a religious statement. We believe in loving everybody and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So it's we're for that. We can love hummus, chocolate chip cookies. But do I have to love Brussels sprouts?
You know, if I made them for you, you would.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll buy that. I'll accept. But anyway, so let's go back to going to our supermarket.
Going to the supermarket, the idea is to make sure that you're not hungry when you get to the register. The register is where you've got stagnant time, where you can have your desires bubble to the surface because you see that chocolate chip cookie, because you see that cake. It's right there. You're tempted. And you don't have the time lapse in order to resist that temptation.
And so, isn't that what your kind of colleagues do? Not necessarily in the nutrition bit, but in the food making bit.
100%.
They put them there just to get people like me to buy that stuff.
Absolutely. It's not only you, it's myself. It's every human being on the planet. We all want that immediate satisfaction that serotonin and oxytocin release in the brain from eating a simple carbohydrate.
Now, see, that's Tom, that's what we do. We force our guests to use at least two big words there so that we can then claim it's kind of an educational show. So tell us those big words again, Sabrina.
Oxytocin is the same chemical that you get when you're in love.
Okay. And what kind of foods have a lot of that stuff?
Well, it's actually not in foods.
Okay.
It's a chemical response that your body gets from eating a simple carbohydrate and a hot liquid. It mostly comes from serotonin. Serotonin is that content, happy feeling.
Okay.
You know, when you have a bowl of chicken soup.
Right.
You know, the hot liquid in the noodles.
I'm not too creative. Or a chocolate chip cookie.
A chocolate chip cookie and a cup of hot cocoa would definitely give you serotonin release in your brain.
Oh, I like that. That's pretty good. So one of the tips is, and I think probably other people have said it in different ways, don't go to the supermarket hungry.
Okay, but let's just say that you're not perfect and your day is crazy and you get to the supermarket and you are hungry.
Right.
Then what you can do is make sure that you go to the outer U of the supermarket, starting with the deli.
Oh, okay.
Go to the deli guy and say, "Hi, can I taste some of that, you know, sliced deli meat? Can I taste some of that the cheese?" Of course, you want to buy it from them. But by getting that taste, you have a weighed portion that you will pay for. But you're sedating yourself so that you have a little bit more strength to fight off the cookie monster at the grocery line.
So I like so we got two tips. Okay, two tips. One is eat something before you go so you're not super hungry when you get there. And then if you do get there and you haven't had the chance to eat, go to one of those places where you're going to buy something where you can get a little bit of it so you're not so hungry. Now, what about going to, like, in some of those supermarkets, they have those little tasting places where they give you free samples. What about them? Yes or no?
Well, I think samples are great.
Right.
The idea is if you taste it, you are going to feel guilted into buying it. That's the marketing structure. That's why when you go.
No, I know, Sabrina. We're a national. We're broadcasting from New York, but we're national. New Yorkers never feel guilty about getting something for free. But I get your point.
But that's the methodology behind a free sample. Plus, they want you to build loyalty. They want you to try it so that you'd like it, so that you'll buy it.
Okay.
You know, people are a little afraid of things that they don't know because it looks yucky.
Right.
So if it's green, it usually is yucky because of the chlorophyll. When you're at the grocery store, if you walk in hungry, you are subject to compulsions. You're going to get simple carbohydrates, and when you get home, you're going to be with that for the week.
Now, what about lists?
Lists are great if you make them when you're not hungry.
Right. Oh,
there's a tempo here.
Okay. I like this. So don't be hungry.
Well, the idea is to never get hungry. I mean, metabolism is all about making sure that your body never feels deprived. There's a big thing about being touched and being loved and being hungry. The idea is if you make sure that you have those contentments, you're going to be better off balancing your nutritional profile by making sure that you feel content emotionally through your brain. When you have a deficit of omega-3 fat, when you have a deficit of serotonin, when you have a deficit of oxytocin, you definitely will eat compulsively more often than not.
So, okay, so we got three things you can do to kind of make sure that you don't, like, binge on the bad stuff at the supermarket. So, right. Like, you try to eat something before you go. If you don't, go to the place, like, where you might be able to get a slice of turkey or a slice of cheese or something like that. That'll fill you up a little bit. And maybe, if you want, make a list, but make a list when you're not hungry.
Right.
Make a list. So we got those three things. But let's say now you've done all that.
What? There's a little bit more.
Okay, go ahead.
Also, usually when you're hungry, right. It's because you're thirsty.
Ah.
Our body yet hasn't defined thirst and hunger, or it's very rare when some people do. So if you're hungry, first thing I would recommend is to get a glass of water.
Okay.
So that way you are trying to figure out what your body needs. And ideally, you want to get about 8 glasses of water. But for somebody who sweats a lot or who has a lot of energy and does a lot of things, you may need more.
Now, again, just for our listeners, is that like an 8-ounce glass of water?
Ideally, 8-ounce glass of water.
Okay,
but
so 8/8.
Eight-eighths is a good one.
64. Okay. Or a big one. You can have one biggie.
Yeah,
but somebody
biggie.
Told me, though, that you should space it out a little bit because you can get water saturated if you drink all the water at once.
Well, now we're going into digestion because, yes, if you drink all the water at once, you can get a full belly, which will also dilute your stomach acids.
Okay.
And when you want to get nutrition, you want to be able to break it down. You chew it, you swallow it, you have stomach acid, you have your intestinal enzymes. And if you drink a lot of water, particularly when you eat, you won't have the access to those enzymes to break it down.
See, because I'm a little bit obsessive with it. When I said you had to have 8 glasses of water, I said, well, if I get them done like between 6 and 8 in the morning, then I don't have to worry about it for the rest of the day. You know, then I feel like I was a success for the day. But then they told me, well, you know, you can't do it all at once. You got to spread it out a little bit. So, all right, I got it now.
But it's great to have goals. It's really wonderful to set those success measurements. If you can set yourself up so that you're eating on the half hour and drinking on the half hour, then you'll never go without a deprivation.
Yeah, I could like that. So, Tom, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have a glass of red wine every half hour. Is that what you?
There is a such thing as an excess.
Oh, okay. All right. But I could have a glass of water every half hour.
You could, unless you're like Jesus and convert the one into the other.
Got it. We got that is, I like it. That's good. So we have water. We have this is a great deal. So we got our four things, okay? Sometimes if you're hungry, you should drink water as opposed to taking something to eat, and then that deals with it, and that helps because you're supposed to have water every day. So we got those things. But now let's go to the fact you're in the supermarket, okay? And give us like three tips, like what you might want to choose that's better than what you might ordinarily choose.
Well, my biggest theory with everything with food is what you like, what you need, and what you want. And if you keep it in that order, then you're always going to have some good food solutions. And you're like, why would you put what you like first? Well, if you don't like it, it's going to go to waste. So there is a huge range of foods that you can like. There's a cornucopia of vegetables.
Another big word. We now got three big words there. I know what that one is. Cornucopia means latsa.
Latsa.
Okay.
So you want to look at the rainbow of foods and try to stay with whole foods that are more colorful than bland. So purple is the number one, red the number two, orange the number three, and then you have green and then white. So you want to eat you want to spend your food dollar on purple things.
Is that like an eggplant?
Eggplant is a really good purple thing. Okay. It has a lot of nutrients in it. It has a lot of vitamins in it. It has a lot of fiber in it. And it actually doesn't have a lot of calories depending on your preparation.
Right.
If you cover it in salt and then fry it with bread, then eggplant's not that great for you. I want people to understand.
That's what I'd like to do with the Brussels sprouts.
But if you make baba ganoush, okay. Baba ganoush is roasted eggplant that is pureed with olive oil, tahini. Tahini's a sesame seed, garlic, and a little bit of salt. Then you're doing great. So if you're in the supermarket and you're not a chef,
right.
And you're not a cook,
right.
You want to try to figure out, how can I get some of these purple things in pre-made foods that haven't been...
What else is purple?
Purple, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries. Anything that they consider black is actually a form of blue.
But you said purple.
Purple, yes, I know.
Oh, but so purple and blue? So blue, purple, I love blueberries.
But if you look at the blueberries and right. blackberries, they actually look... more blue than black.
Ah, so it's false advertising.
Well,
we should call them purple berries.
You know what? Somebody who had great influence and didn't have a good color, a sense of color, was the one who dubbed it. And because they said it more often than not,
right?
Then they that's how it became.
Now let me ask you. I think I saw something somewheres in the past couple of weeks about how you eat better or you eat less. If there's a difference between the color of the plate and the color of the food.
I don't disagree with you on that.
Okay.
A lot of people will look at color ratios and they say, okay, a white plate with white food is going to be a little bit bland. You do eat with your eyes, so you want to make it abundant. You want to make it so that it is exciting and your body actually will start secreting. You ever like look at a plate and just start salivating?
Right.
And the idea is you can condition yourself to think things are great, or you can condition yourself to think things are terrible. If you continually say Brussels sprouts are terrible, then you're always emotionally going to not like them. If you say cookies are awesome, then emotionally you're going to think, but when I hear cookies, all I think of is the treadmill and how I don't want to go there.
Okay. I buy that, but. I agree. I've conditioned myself. Cookies are good. Brussels sprouts are bad. I got it. No, okay. So we now got. But we're speaking with Suprina Barene, who is a nutritionist, a wellness expert, and we're speaking about foods and how you can kind of make good choices. And the first thing, one of the things she told us, which I think should appeal to all of us, is the first thing you do is you look for foods that you like. Well. That's pretty good. That's a nice thing to do. Then you look for what you need and then finally what you want. So we got that when you get to the supermarket. What other tip you got? What are the two other tips I want?
The supermarket is structured right. so that the aisles have most of the processed food. The outer U shape of the supermarket generally has the healthier foods. They have the meat section, the milk section, and the vegetable section. All on the exterior part of the supermarket, generally. So if you figure out and you do the U shape and make very few forays into the process section,
right.
you're going to be a little bit better off. I also want to encourage people.
Now, hold on for a second. Listen, just think about it. Think about the supermarket that you go to. Because I'm thinking about three or four that I've go to with some regularity. And I never thought about it, but it's absolutely true that you kind of go in and you there's the produce stuff there, and then you go around the back and you kind of find where the refrigerated section is, where there's stuff like that.
Seafood and meat and
yeah, that's interesting. That's good. I never realized that. That's good stuff. So okay, so you shop the perimeter.
Shop the perimeter.
Okay.
And by the time you get to the interior,
right.
you're going to know that in the interior, you really want to spend your time on things that are going to be valuable for your pantry. So beans are awesome. Things that are going to have a good shelf life for emergency food. You need to keep those in your house. What's a great emergency food? Tuna fish, sardines, canned oysters. Those things are something that the smoked trout. Those are things that can stay in your cabinet for a long time.
What category do you put peanut butter in?
Peanut butter is actually a great resource for a protein, energy source, and good fat.
Okay.
But if you get Peter Pan or something that has a lot of sugar in it.
So they vary. The brands vary a lot. Okay. And chunky or smooth?
You know, that's personal preference.
Okay. Doesn't make that much difference.
No, but there's some really great base recipes that you could use with peanut butter.
Okay.
Like a can of light coconut milk and some peanut butter with onions and garlic makes a really nice peanut sauce.
Hmm. Is that like you could put on chicken or on something like that?
Absolutely.
Ah.
Chicken or shrimp. You can even make it even more amazing by adding something called Bragg's liquid aminos.
Wow. What are they?
You've heard of soy sauce.
Right.
Well, Bragg's liquid aminos has 17 different aminos, and your body requires 23 in order to build a muscle.
Right.
So it's 17. That's already there, easily enabled for your body to assimilate it into a muscle. I know it's another big word.
How does it relate to soy sauce?
Well, it tastes just like soy sauce.
Oh, okay. So what's it look like? Is it dark?
It looks just like soy sauce.
Oh. Now, is that on the perimeter?
Actually, no.
Ah, so there's some good stuff in those aisles.
Yeah, but you really got to source it. Here's the other trick, is that after you've done the perimeter, you've gone, you filled your cart with vegetables, you filled your cart with meat and fish, you've gone and you've gotten your milk products. Mm. By the time you get to the center aisle, your cart is full. You're going to be emotionally satisfied by your eyes that you have a full cart.
You know what that all reminds me of? I think that's a great idea. We just did a little video, and we showed it kind of some of the stuff that Catholic Charities was doing. And we had one kid in the video who was talking about an after-school program. And what she said was, you know, boy, you think you're having fun, but actually you're learning something.
That's right.
So, like, you can trick yourself. You can fill your cart and get a smaller cart, and it's pretty full, and then there's no room for the bad stuff.
And again, you got to look at it. It's not bad stuff. If you put it in your mind bad, then you're going to be like the person who wants to go out with the bad boy or the bad girl. You want to emotionally take care of yourself. If you put a label of bad on something, then you automatically are going to want it.
But somehow you got to distinguish between the stuff you should do and the stuff you shouldn't do.
Right, which is why you put what you like,
right,
what you need,
right,
and what you want. Generally, what you want is going to be something that your body is craving.
Okay.
And that is, have some food, you've eaten a little bit of protein before the supermarket, you're going to want less glucose.
Sabrina, thank you so much for being here. That was wonderful. We learned a lot. We learned about perimeters. We learned about eating before you go, making lists when you're not hungry, all those type of things, and drinking wine. We learned about that, and we learned about drinking water, too. And then if we could invite Jesus to our party, we could have the water, and maybe he'd, you know, do another caner and turn it into wine. Sabrina Barany, thanks for being with us, and thanks for taking the time. We've been talking about kind of fitness and health and wholeness. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in 2 minutes on the Catholic Channel, Just Love, Just Do It. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. This is the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back, Just Love. As we're approaching summer and we're talking about fitness and we're talking about how we get in shape for the summer and eating well, we thought we'd listen to a little bit of Bruce and girls in their summer clothes as we kind of came back. Tom, what do we got in the news this week?
Well, certainly, Mr. Union, we're talking about summer. One of the things I know we're very excited about this coming summer, and it kind of has to do with nature and such, is the Pope Francis, his encyclical letter on the environment is expected to come out sometime later this month. It was just announced what the title of the encyclical letter is going to be. The title is going to be Laudato Si, which is medieval Italian for the words praise be. And it's taken from St. Francis's Canticle of Creation. And some people may be familiar. It begins with St. Francis's famous prayer, praise be to you, my Lord, with all your creatures, especially Sir Brother Son, who is the day and through whom you give us light. So, again, we're very excited and we're looking forward to that coming out and happening soon. And it should be out by the end of the summer, I think, Monsignor.
I thought June 16th.
They're not. They haven't announced the actual date yet. I would say they say it's going to be out. It'll be out during June, but they haven't. They haven't said. But probably it'll be June. It'll be June 16th. It was the gentleman who was talking about what the title was going to be wouldn't say yes or wouldn't say no. But they said afterward in private conversation, he said June 16th. So it's supposed to come out at that time.
All right. Okay. So we'll wait and see. But you know, as I told you, and as I am going to get probably progressively a little bit upset by is the way and they've kind of hinted at what's going to be in the encyclical. And we're going to forbid people on this show to say it's an encyclical about the environment, mm-hmm. because it isn't. If any of the previews are right, it is basically about human development and how human development and the development of the environment, how the development of all of creation impacts human development. And it's basically you see the environment if, in fact, everything they've said about this encyclical is accurate through the prism of human development. It's not just about the environment. It's how the environment and humankind interact. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not helpful to talk about it as an encyclical on the environment, as if you could look at the environment and saving the environment without looking at how it deals with humanity and human development. So anyway, so we'll see what happens. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's not what it's going to talk about. But at least that's what it seems like it's going to talk about. Mm-hmm. What else we got in the news?
On human development, here on that front, this is something I know you have personal experience with. Earlier in the week, it was announced that the Bangladeshi police have come forward with charges against the people who both owned and who operated the factories at the Rana Plaza complex in Bangladesh. You know, as you may recall, sadly, back in 2013, there were over 1,129 people were killed there. It was, you know, and the owners, both the owners and the people who operated the factory had notice that the factory the building was rickety. It wasn't necessarily in the best condition. So that when the building collapsed, this is will be the first time that people who should have been responsible for the people who worked their safety are going to be held accountable for their actions. So and that was something that was new, frankly, in that country.
Wow, so that is good. And as we've talked about on the show, I was there. I did not go to see that factory site because of the national strike that was going on there, but I did speak with the workers who were injured in that, and it was a rather moving experience. And again, I think, you know, I don't know, I assume 3 years is probably a long period of time, but I just don't know the legal system there to know whether that's an a really extreme length of time or whether it's not. So I just don't know the answer to that. But it is good that there has been some least accountability for some of those who were involved in that tragic death, the loss of human life. So that is a good thing for us to kind of highlight and to let people know about. Tom, you got anything else?
Mm-hmm. Well, as a follow-up on last week's Monsignor, you know, last week we had on Sister Diana Momeka, who was from the Dominican Sisters of St. Catherine of Sienna of Iraq. And as you may have recalled, she told us a little bit about the experiences that she and the sisters had leaving their convent, which was very close to Mosul, Iraq, and walking to safety up to the Kurdish regions. Well, as it turns out, just at the beginning of the month, Catholic Near East Welfare Association announced that it was donating over $40,000 to the sisters in order to be able to wind up providing them with some housing. Believe it or not, Monsignor, they've been mostly living in shipping containers while they were up in the Kurdistan region. And as sister said, they've been doing some services and providing services to people who have wound up fleeing the attacks by ISIS. So Kanewa also had announced that they were, this is part of a grant of almost $7 million that they've been giving to those suffering communities, particularly Christians, in that part of the world who are fleeing for their safety and for their life.
Wow. So that is that's very good. I mean, I found the conversation with Sister Monica last week, Diana Monica, was a really moving conversation about that terror at night when everybody fled, and she described it comparable to the flight out of Egypt, mm-hmm. the exodus there, and it was just kind of an incredibly moving experience. So, you know what, I think why don't we take a break.
Great.
And then we'll come back and we will speak with our second guest, who is Mara Wedick. And again, we're going to continue our conversation about wellness and fitness, and she's the co-founder of an organization called Pop Fit Kids, and it's for fun fitness. And I'm looking forward in the next segment to speaking with Mara Wedick. This is Just Love, Just Do It. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself, and our world will be more just and compassionate. Join us when we come back in 2 minutes on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love, Just Do It. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself, and our world will be more just, and it will be more compassionate. So we speak with those people who try to make our world a better place, more just, more compassionate in a variety of ways. It's not necessarily those people who are out in the street protesting. It's not necessarily the people who always write letters and petitions. It's some of the people who work in a variety of ways to make our world better, more just, more compassionate. And this week, we're focusing on fitness, which we're focusing on nutrition and wellness. And I'm delighted that our guest in the studio here is Mara Wedick, who is the co-founder of Pop Fit Kids, who thinks that fitness should be fun as opposed to merely being something that you have to get through. So, Mara, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Monsignor. Wonderful to be here.
Great. So, how come you got into this fitness stuff?
Yeah, well, I've always been personally into fitness. I'm a marathon runner and just certainly.
part of my problem is that, like, you know, it's 26 miles.
26.2.
I mean, it was okay for the guy to run from where that he ran from Sparta to Athens,
yes,
to tell him about the victory. But
yes,
but can't we just call him on the cell phone?
Fair enough.
I mean, but, well, I'd get bored. I'd get bored. But, thank God people do it.
Very much so.
So did you run last year?
I did not run last year. I haven't run in a few years, but I've run it a couple of times.
How many have you run?
I've run two.
Okay.
Two in New York.
You're going to do it again?
I'm going to do it again.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. This year?
Not this year. That's a little ambitious for this year.
Okay.
But it's on radar.
All right. That's good. That's actually, some year when you decide you run, we Catholic Charities, we have like about 12 slots that we offer people slots to run in it. And it's part of that whole charity thing where we ask people to try to raise about $3,000 through friends and things for that. I'm willing to donate. Because I don't have to run. That's my.
You could watch it.
That's right. That's my contribution to the whole thing. But anyway, so I interrupted you. So tell me a little bit more how you got into.
Yeah. So this. I've always personally been involved in fitness, and in my former career life, I was involved in doing communications and marketing for just the importance of healthy living, organic living, green living, a healthy lifestyle for people, and noticing in a wonderful way that there has been a lot of attention starting to be paid towards nutrition for kids and nutrition in schools and educating families on the benefits of healthy eating and the differences between what to eat, what's right, what not to eat. It's such an important mark, but I really felt that there is a holistic approach to that, and it's not just about what the food that goes in your body, but it's also about how you prepare your body and how young people in particular can really benefit from understanding the excitement and the enjoyment of being physical without feeling as though it's something that is a must-do. And
So tell us about what Pop Fit is. What's Pop Fit?
So Pop Fit Kids is a functional fitness program for kids, and we emphasize the F-U-N in functional, and we really teach kids.
So it's a funky program?
It's a funky, functional program.
Okay.
A lot of fun's happening.
Okay, good. We like fun.
Yeah, fun is. That's what it's all about.
You know what? Actually, it's interesting because our previous guest on the show said, how do you kind of, if you go to the supermarket, how do you do the right thing? And the first thing she said was, choose the food you like. So, okay, I thought that's pretty good. I might as well choose the foods I like. So if we're going to do this stuff by having fun, that's not too bad.
That's exactly right. And it's actually a very similar premise to it, is really do the things that you like, particularly for kids, because they don't always gravitate towards sports inherently. And the idea of exercising can become daunting if they don't understand not only the benefits of it, but they don't understand that it can be fun and it can be a physically charged way of just having a good time.
But you know, Mara, I what you say makes a lot of sense. What if I observe or I read or I look, it seems that some of the problem is that what kids kind of think they have fun doing are a lot of sitting stuff, video games, stuff like that. And I think if you ask them, they say, I'm having fun doing it. So is it kind of like the way what mom says is fun? Or what the kids say are fun.
Well, it's an excellent point, and the sedentary lifestyles is a challenge unto itself, and technology and video games and computers. But You know, for us, it's really about showing them that they can be empowered through fitness and that they can be empowered through moving and genuinely having a good time. I say this somewhat of a bragging right, but more so it's just so great to watch kids smiling throughout a 50-minute class and high-fiving each other and getting really excited about doing a lateral lunge. It's just,
I got to tell you, listen, and by the way, can you also get them to walk on water?
Very much so, yeah.
A lateral lunge.
There, yeah.
Okay. That is great. How young do you go?
We started three.
Okay.
You know, part of it was also we really want to kind of get the kids in on the conversation. And at three, they're still young and their muscles are certainly developing. The muscle coordination is certainly still developing. But we can pepper in some aspects of vernacular for them that they can really get excited about and take home to mom. And that's a big part of it for us, too, is we talk about educating the kids and they'll educate the parents.
Now, do you do your PopFit program actually in conjunction with a school curriculum? Is that what you do?
So we're mostly in after-school time. So we go to different schools right now around Manhattan and Brooklyn and expanding. But we are usually after school and also at community centers over the weekend where we get hired and engaged to really just, you know, bring the kids some fitness.
So are you, is PopFit like a full-service thing or is it just like a module that you kind of pop into like a broader program?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So we do pop-ups because, you know, any type of fitness fun activity, there's certainly plenty to do. But it's really based on a progressive curriculum so that, which is inherently based on sort of generally 12 or 16 weeks. And so from week one to week 16, we're really engaging the kids in the fundamentals of fitness so that they are progressing from week to week and really getting excited about it from the beginning to the end.
Have you noticed in recent years, as I said kind of before, some of the fitness stuff, some of the nutrition stuff, it seems to me, I don't want to say it's a fad, but it wasn't the same conversation like 20, 30 years ago. What's changed?
Yeah, that's a good question. We always sort of try to pinpoint the turning point for that. You know, I will give a considerable amount of credit to Michelle Obama when she started Let's Move. It certainly helped it from a national level for people to just get an understanding of it on the ground level. You know, more and more studies are coming out. Childhood obesity rates are increasing. Juvenile diabetes, type 2 diabetes is starting to really come more into play. And it's also, people are starting to become more aware that there's the health side of it, but there's also the social, emotional, intellectual side of development that kids are benefiting from physical activity. And so once that starts to really surface, people are just becoming more engaged and the conversation is moving from corporations to nonprofits. And it's really become much more of a today discussion.
So, as you talked about that if we look, I don't know, whatever time period you take, things ain't great today in terms of childhood diabetes. They're not good in terms of childhood asthma, and I don't know how much asthma is related to nutrition and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Things aren't so great in terms of obesity and stuff like that. And it seems that the trend isn't necessarily going in the right direction.
Yeah, it's we just was recently in D.C. for the Partnership for Healthy America. They have a conference called Building a Healthier Future. And there are a lot of different organizations there and companies and corporations there, private and public. And
Mara, let me just interrupt you for a second, because there are always two ways that people tell the narrative, okay?
Yeah.
So when you're looking for funding from a foundation or somebody like that, the world is the worst place in the whole world, and if you don't give me the money, these kids are not going to live.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the...
For
that's
sure,
the
scare.
And then there's the stuff that you got to do analytically to figure out, hey, things are a little better or they're not much better. So let's pretend the foundations aren't listening today. And what's the real story from your perspective?
For sure. No, and I appreciate that. What I was going to address with that is that we were all sort of patting ourselves on the back and saying, hey, we're all here. We're doing great. We're doing wonderful things, but we can't stop. It's not going away. It's continuing to happen. And it's really a combination of, you know, kids just being involved in technology more so than they have been. It's a combination of families being busy and not necessarily having the proper time to really pay attention to the pertinence and the relevance of living a healthier lifestyle. And particularly, I think people are just not conditioned to know that early age is really the time that you can get it, and habits start at an early age. And so I think behaviorally, we're all just conditioned to doing things as we do it, and we take the quick fix to things. And it's just because of the challenges that are continuing to resurrect, I think people are starting to pay more attention to it. And that's just my general view.
What would you do? I mean, we know the real solution would be to have every school, every after-school program, invite you guys in to do Pop Fit with them, and that would solve the problem for the country.
Yes.
Assuming that we needed a Plan B, what's kind of on the Plan B that we should be doing?
You know, generally, it's about having kids at anywhere, anytime, exercising, anywhere, anytime, understanding the value of healthy foods. And it's really, the conversation comes from at home mostly. It certainly can happen in schools, but it's really about just understanding that simple nuances towards this conversation can go a really long way. And, you know, kids day to day can learn how to just be active.
So let me force you to make a forced choice. Mm. If you could only do one thing, you want the kids to eat better or you want them to be more active?
That's a really that is a tough, challenging question.
And let me phrase it another way, which may be a little bit easier. Do you think there are greater deficits in the lack of activity among kids, or are there greater deficits in the lack of good eating?
It's a very good point. It's a good question.
I think your answer is there are probably significant deficits in both.
For sure. I'm trying to be diplomatic in the answer. There really is, without question. There are significant challenges with both.
Yeah, because the reason I ask that, it seems to me that the remedies are different. Because from my point of view, there's no real cost to being more active.
Correct.
There is a cost to eating more healthy. And let me give you a little bit of my own personal experience, because Catholic Charities has quite a few food pantries. And we did a number of years ago to try to introduce more fresh produce and things of that nature into the food pantries. Well, about 3 or 4 years ago, we had to cut back on that because we simply couldn't get as much food that was healthy for the prices we had. And so it was like we wanted to buy from farmers markets. We wanted to do those things. And so I think maybe there shouldn't be, but isn't there an economic cost to healthier eating?
There is. Yeah, and similarly, you know, even in some of the after-school programs, the kids are super active, and then they eat junk food right after, and it negates the premise of them being active to a large degree. So the accessibility for healthier foods is definitely more of a challenge, but there are still ways to eat healthy without having to break the bank.
So one of the things we allow on this show is we make the person the czarina of health and fitness for kids for 2 minutes. And so you don't have any regulatory constraints, financial constraints, or anything. So what are the three things you're going to impose on us so that we get healthier kids?
Love it. Okay, kids need to be active, off the couch, into the field, whatever you're doing, just move. That is first and foremost.
How often a day? How many minutes?
60 minutes a day is appropriate, for sure. That's
okay,
structured.
So we put tacks on the couches and get them outside.
Get them outside, turn off the computers.
Okay, so that's one.
That's one. eat your greens, eat your rainbow, watch the colors that you're eating, think about the foods that you're going putting in your mouth, think about the things that you're able to do.
Okay, and which one should be going in the mouth and which stuff shouldn't be?
Apples, good thing.
Works I like apples.
For everything.
And I made applesauce.
Applesauce is good, yes. Yeah. Making applesauce is really good. You know, things with hydrogen in it all, as we can go into a whole conversation
okay.
about that. And
the third thing.
Have fun. Just have fun. Really, just have fun and understand that being healthy is actually having fun.
And you're not going to let me define fun as sitting on the couch playing my computer game, having chocolate chip cookies.
Yep. Play a game where you're physically moving.
Okay. I like that.
That's, play games.
That's a good idea. Now, it's interesting, and we only have another minute or so, but I think there's probably a way, because of some things, probably there's a way to somehow use technology to kind of encourage that. And whether it's, you know, people I see watching workout videos or stuff
yep.
like that, maybe there's a way to build that into kids in some way.
There is. And there are even websites where you can sort yeah. of, kids can interact. They can get points for doing certain things. And so that's it's certainly technology.
They can get
can
another video game.
They can get another video. I mean, if you eat your food, you can get an extra video game.
Mara Wedick is the co-founder of PopFit.
Kids,
Zarina for Pop Fitness for Kids, who says get off the couch and go be active, do what you like, and to eat colorfully, the right color food. So, Mara, thanks so much for being with us, and get back into running the marathon for the do it vicariously because I ain't doing it. So I need people who are doing it who I can cheer on. So anyway, thanks so
Love
much
it.
For taking the time to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
So Tom, this is we talked about. So what are you going to do to be fit? I mean, oh, you like the environment stuff and climate control.
I
so
do.
What are you going to do?
I love to just walk. Along the river, Monsignor, in the evening. So I'm going to start taking that up now
okay.
that the weather's nice.
And Victoria, what are you going to do?
I work out every morning.
Okay, yeah. So that's good. Hey, thank you for joining us on Just Love, where we talked about fitness, we talked about wellness, nutrition. Join us again when we come back next week on Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just do it. Just love God, just love your neighbor, love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. The Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Listening to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.